I do believe it's time to start our visit with our good friends at the Lakeville Journal. And at the time, we have our best friend of ever, Janet Manco, is the only one who's here.
Good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Good morning.
Yeah, you know, it's just the luck of the draw. And I'm very happy to be here. Cynthia is in Argentina.
Uh-huh.
Because of the weather yesterday, all the read-aloud days were delayed until today. So our entire rest of our people are out covering different read-aloud days at the school. So anyone else who could have been here is there taking photos of community members reading to the kids in our elementary schools and having a great time.
All right.
Well, we are very happy to have you.
And
we hope
she has a good time in Argentina.
Right.
Don't cry for me.
And we'll see her. Is she coming back next week?
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, we can start off. This was an interesting story, and it's one that doesn't seem to go away. Our state representative, Maria Horn, introduced a bill as a placeholder along with other bills. And, of course, it created a furor, and they had with our video shows, was a very interesting two-hour session with Maria in Falls Village. And you've got a story on that by Patrick Sullivan.
That's right. Patrick was there covering this. And that bill, of course, among other bills, was certainly one that got the attention of people in the northwest corner. It had to do with Lime Rock Park and who has control of how racetracks operate. Now, of course, it's a contentious issue. It has been for years in our area. And I thought what was interesting about this meeting and this story, as you'll read Patrick describing it, is that it came out of a furor on Facebook. And, you know, often we look at the discussions on Facebook and say, you know, oh boy, you know, this is going to go nowhere fast and nobody can agree and there's misinformation out there. But actually, this was a positive outcome to have this meeting because there was some misinformation in that Facebook feed. Other people would come in and try to correct it, but who knows if you don't know the issue, which is correct. This was the most positive outcome that I think could have happened, is to have Maria Horn come to Falls Village, to the firehouse, to the emergency services center, I should say, and have an open discussion with a large group of people, 200 people who came out, and it's clear that people care about this. This is now leading into a decision at the state Supreme Court. That bill would not have gone forward anyway because of that, and so we'll see what happens next. But really good discussion.
What's interesting about it is that I think people in Lakeville, Salisbury, especially in the Planning and Zoning Commission and at Salisbury Town Hall, learned that, yes, Lime Rock is located in Salisbury, and, yes, it's an important fact, but it is important to all the towns around, as important to the towns around us as it is to Salisbury. And I thought it was great that Maria went to that meeting and handled it like she did. The only thing that really got me was at the beginning of this week, and I got the letter, and I'm sure you did too, when Curtis Rand posted his letter, basically taking credit for this, that created another whole uproar on Facebook this week. It was, you know, it was another chance for people to jump on poor Maria and say that, you know, she's a puppet of Salisbury. But I think she proved that she's capable of listening to everybody at that meeting.
That's right. That letter, I think, came out because, you know, Curtis Rand, first selectman of Salisbury, decided to put that statement out because those questions came up at the meeting, asking Maria what was the impetus for this, why did she put this bill in, and she didn't quote, you know, anybody else influencing her in that way, but Curtis came out and that he's quoted in this article, so give it a read, but Maria handled it well.
Yeah.
I think we have some good hope that she will go forward. And even when there are missteps, we all make them. She'll move forward and think carefully about things and, you know, take a different path if she has to. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I think once the state Supreme Court rules on the legality of the state statute and how it applies, and if they withhold that that statute, that the decision can be made by statewide, I think at that point Maria Horn and the people from against the racing at the track and the track itself will all have to get together and find a way to compromise, to let it go by.
That's so true. Yeah. How many times have we said that along the course of this saga? It is incredible it's had to go now to the state Supreme Court to be able to step back and say, you know, now's the time to think about compromise. It's true, but it's human nature, I guess, until we have to do that.
Until the push comes to shove, that's exactly right, yeah. Well, on something other than that, though, and which we'll get into it, the picture that is right next to that the ski jumpers soaring, what incredible turnouts for the Salisbury Winter Sports Association on both Saturday, where they had anywhere from 1,200 to 1,800 people, and on Sunday, where they had well over 2,000 people.
Yeah, isn't it great? It was a disappointment when the Friday evening events had to be canceled after the rain and they had to get the hill in shape, but boy, it led into such a great weekend. And that photo by Randy O'Rourke actually tells the story. This jumper up in the air, and below him loads of people, colorful clothing, amazed by his performance. And so it turned into a great weekend. We have loads of photos inside the paper and a story about it and the winners, and just fantastic for Salisbury and for these jumpers.
And by the way, the Salisbury Association still has their SWASA exhibit with the artifacts from Roy Sherwood's Cortina, Italy Olympic appearance. That is still up at the Academy Building, by the way.
Great, It should be. Patrick has a little story.
Shaw has a story in there about Northwest Connecticut Community College and high school, and there was a legislative breakfast.
Right. This, you know, I don't know if it just seems this way, but it does to me that we tend to take Northwest Connecticut Community College for granted, and certainly we shouldn't, because look what happened to the UConn Torrington campus. This school is so important to the community and the ability for people to get an education in this area. It's just a great resource. So this legislative breakfast, the president, Michael Rook, talked about enrollment increasing at NCCC, and the number of students. I don't know if everybody realizes that there are 330 full-time students and over 900 part-time students enrolled. That's a lot of students who were really benefiting from this school's being there. And, you know, their programs with the high schools are really important to these high school kids who can take college classes, and if they decide to go to NCCC, benefit from that, or if they decide to go to other colleges, transfer credits. So it's an interesting story. Give it a read.
You know, just look at it this way. Roberta Willis is a product of Northwest Connecticut Community College.
Right, and she was so key in getting the nursing school there going and funded and active.
And she wound up as a major player on the education committee for the state of Connecticut. So,
exactly.
It's a great asset to have in our area. Now, something that's just to our north, and Bernie Drew has a story on this, and I've been aware of this for quite a while, the Clinton Church restoration, twice singled out by a Massachusetts organization.
Right. That's the Preservation Massachusetts. And, you know, people are interested in history everywhere, but especially in Massachusetts. And this church, the Clinton Church, the Clinton AME Zion Church on Elm Street in Great Barrington, of course, has connections with Black history in this area and had associations with W.E.B. Du Bois, the civil rights activist and educator, whose birthplace was Great Barrington. So this is great news that this church is being recognized and will be preserved, and we'll keep an eye on this. And Bernie, of course, Bernie Drew, who, you know, is our associate editor and does our front page every week. We're lucky to have him in our group, and he is a local historian as well and knows a lot about this history. So we always look to him to try to enlighten us.
All right. And we have another a female ordination of a church in North Canaan.
Right. Anne Freeze, yeah, ordained at the North Canaan Church. And that's a great photo taken of her by Savage Freeze, her husband. So just fantastic. Go over and meet her.
Nice pictures. What, Pete, the children at the Chocolate Festival at Kent Center School?
That's right. When there's snow and ice outside, what's better than happy kids and chocolate inside with flowers in their hair? And so, yeah, Lance Christensen got some great photos of kids at the Kent Center School Chocolate Fest. Great fundraiser for the school. And Ed Epstein, who's the president of the scholarship fund there, says that the fund has more than $30,000, and donations are accepted this year until June 30th. So give that a read, and especially for our Kent listeners, think about your local school.
All right, and right to the side of that, Lila Hawkins, learning about climate change and legislation.
Right. Such a key issue, and if we only think about it in the global sense or the national or international sense, it can be totally overwhelming. But here we have the 5th through 8th grade students at Cornwall Consolidated School thinking about it in the local way and what they can do to make a difference. And it was a whole series of programs they had to talk about it and discuss it and think about it, and it came to a conclusion with a mock state senatorial hearing held at the school on Friday, February 8th. What a great learning experience for these kids, and Lila writes about it beautifully.
All right, and there's a great story about Maria Horn before she went to that big meeting, speaking about activism at the Lee H. Kellogg School.
That's right, right. And kudos to Maria for being able to look at what might be of use to her constituents in the area to go and take part in, instead of resting before that two-hour meeting. So she went over to the Lee H. Kellogg School and congratulated the students there on their activism. And they're talking about a letter they wrote to urge the banning of single-use plastic bags in Connecticut. And there are bills in the legislature right now pertaining to that. So let's see what happens.
How about this? You've got a little story on this, but it's going to become big. The musical that's going to be presented by the Housatonic Musical Theater Society this year is Rip Van Winkle, which is the musical of none other than Michael Berkeley, who co-wrote that with
Was it Ray Roderick?
Yeah, with Ray Roderick. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And yes, this is coming up the weekend of March 14, 15, 16. These musicals are always great, and just wonderful that Michael Berkeley's original musical is going to be performed by those kids at Housatonic. So don't miss that. Their performances are always packed, as they should be.
All right, and if you turn to the next page, you'll see lots of color pictures and black and white pictures also of Jump Fest.
That's right, and it doesn't really matter. They're still just as exciting whether in color or black and white. But loads of photos taken, and we'll have more up on our website at tricornernews.com. And just so fortunate to have Alonz Christensen, Savage Freeze, Randy O'Rourke, and Tom Brown taking photos for us, and these guys aren't afraid to climb up to the top of the jump or take photos down at the bottom of the hill. They're just fantastic. And so do give this a read. It talks about who won and why, and great weekend.
All right. And it's there's, of course, Mountaineer Weekend Review, but I would be remiss if I didn't congratulate the Housatonic girl. I'm going to call them Lady Mountaineers, not girls.
Right.
For the first time, I think, in 20-some years, they are the outright champions of the Berkshire League.
Just fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations to them. What a season. I know Patrick's there, and we'll have an update on this, but we have this column from Ann McNeil every week, and just watching the season has been so exciting. Fantastic for these ladies and for all their fans, which is everybody associated with Housatonic.
We've had three presidents come and go. We've had lots. It's been a long, long
right.
time. And congratulations to the entire team, all the students, and also to Coach Steve Dodge, who I remember announcing Steve Dodge playing basketball and playing football and stuff like that.
Right.
Gosh, time marches on, but congratulations.
Right. And, you know, it's not an easy league either.
No.
You know, there are some good teams.
Northwestern has been a state powerhouse for years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll go back to Winstead here. I want to go on page A6, popping corks and partying for a good cause.
And so this is the 13th annual Bubbles at Truffles, and just a fantastic event that benefits Friends of Main Street, which is an important organization over in Winstead. We have great photos from it, and it's always a lot of fun. Executive Director of Friends of Main Street, Lauren DeMauro, is in a photo with her daughter and organized this event. And she was our office manager over at the Winstead Journal before we rolled it into the Lakeville Journal. So we know her very well. She's a great person and great event.
All right, now I'm going to, next story I'll roll over into your editorial, because whenever there's a sidewalk plan or plans that are coming for Kent, and it just brings me back to Falls Village and even North Canaan. It's amazing how much people care about sidewalks one way or the other. Falls Village turned out beautifully, by the way.
Beautifully.
And even the sidewalks that they put in North Canaan were gorgeous with new street lamps. So your editorial is find a way to agree on rebuilding the sidewalks.
That's right. And we also have a news story from Elise Sattler on a public hearing for the sidewalk plan that became contentious. And you know, there were two meetings before this one, and Streetscape Committee presented their findings. This was a 9-year process. They visited 25 different towns in this area that have done similar projects, including, of course, Falls Village, Salisbury, North Canaan. Falls Village, could there be a better reason to go ahead and do a sidewalk project than walking through Falls Village?
It's absolutely amazing how much easier it is to get around town. Much easier.
Right, and anyone, you know, the bummer is that people who, you know, won't necessarily remember the before and after.
Exactly.
But it's a massive difference.
Now, you've got some great letters here, and I want to start off with the one from Deanna Berry from Women's Support Services, the real hashtag him too. And this paragraph is, you know, and what I've been interviewing Women's Support Services for a long time, and we've been talking about this. It's scary because men are more likely to be raped than be falsely accused of rape, and less likely to be believed when they come forward with their hashtag Me Too stories. That is a great thing to point out, that Women's Support Services pointing out that obviously sexual abuse and predators goes both ways.
Yeah, it's not just women.
That's right, and Women's Support Services are experts in this, and we appreciate them sharing this information with us. This is really a good week for advocacy on our letters page. We have that letter on abuse from Dana Barry, and we have a piece from Lynn Mattoon on doing our part to, you know, improve our environment and be aware of climate change. And you know, we have Joanne Tabor talking about single-use plastic bags. But Harry Hall has a wonderful letter.
Anybody knows Harry Hall?
It's
an amazing letter.
It is, and it's about the neighborliness of our small towns. And this is specifically Salisbury, but it could happen in any of our towns. And he receives support at a difficult time. Give it a read.
And on the flip side, the viewpoint page, once again, at Peter Steiner's Starbucks Coffee, introducing Schultz, Chino, neither tea nor coffee.
That's right.
And you've got the other ones there as well.
Right. And John Swan, who periodically writes to us about things he cares about, it's a fascinating piece that you know, he'll start out with history and move his way forward into how it's affecting us now. So give him a read. The title of it is Lord Byron's 1816 Alps Revisited. So a little bit history and where we're at now.
You know, I look at the page, and there's an obituary written for John Lunning, and I posted that when I found out about it almost a week, maybe 8 days ago.
February 3rd.
And, of course, I was at Sharon Center School, and it was in his first class that he taught. And anybody that went through Sharon Center School, when you mentioned John Lunning, just has an incredible affection for the man. He stayed in the area. He loved the area, from the area originally. And the outpouring of support for his family and for him is amazing. And, you know, everybody quoted the same thing. We just saw him in Le Mans the other day.
Yeah.
But it truly, one of these things that shows how important a teacher can be in somebody's life.
Isn't that true? And I knew him from the Rotary Club. He just remained engaged his entire life, and yeah, that is the impressive part, isn't it, that one person's life can make such a difference to an entire region. So
not only just in generations, the effect that good teachers have and is just immeasurable. So it's just nice to point that out in the obituaries.
Yeah.
Thank you. We will move on to Compass, and we've got a lot in Compass, actually, today.
That's right. We have a piece by Emily Gates on a Sharon painter, Tom Goldenberg, who is part of a show up in Great Barrington. And I wish we could have printed his painting in color. It's beautiful, so go to our website and take a look at it there. But just fascinating. Emily writes beautifully about art. Give it a read. She talks about him and his landscapes. And, you know, he paints what he sees, but she describes that much better.
All right. And of course, religious intolerance in Old Lakeville. We've been talking about that for a while with the book that came out on that.
Right. This is by local historian Jeff Brown. And, you know, he has a talk coming up at the Scoville Library. If you have any interest whatsoever in local history, or even if you don't, you'll learn to if you go and hear him talk about it. He's so knowledgeable and enthusiastic about it. And I just loved the show that was on your station, Marshall, with Dan Dwyer and Jeff talking about this. And
didn't they have Helen as well?
Helen
was there as well. A combo of books that kind of crossed paths. And we'll wrap it up talking about, of course, Crescendo performing music for women this weekend.
Right. Fred Baumgartner writes about this for us, and we're so happy to have him still engaged with our musical scene because he is so knowledgeable, too. And so Crescendo, wonderful group, always has a full house every time they perform. And this will, of course, be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, in Great Barrington at St. James Place and at Trinity Church
and
in Lime Rock.
Because it's Valentine's Day, we don't want to forget about your wedding showcase.
That's right.
Well, not your wedding showcase, but the paper's wedding showcase.
So true, and Alexander, who writes about it, makes it clear he has never thrown a wedding himself, but he certainly talked to a lot of people who did and has some great ideas on what to do with your welcome bag for guests who come in to be part of your wedding. And just a great piece. You know, until you start thinking about it, this one little part can make such a difference for your guests who are both local and who come in from far away. And lots of ads here of people who have other services for weddings, from, you know, flowers to venues to henna to food and DJing, so give it a look and get ready for the weddings that are likely coming up once the weather's warmer.
It takes a village. It takes a village to make a wedding.
At least.
I can tell you about weddings. I can.
Oh, yeah. You've already told us about Valentine's Day. Now you can tell us about weddings.
I'm a big believer in weddings.
Oh, we know you about the washing machine. What is it about weddings, Nat?
I have many involved in my life.
And they all have a certain, shall we say, je ne sais quoi.
They certainly do. All right, well.
I think everybody has those stories.
But Marshall tells them better.
That's correct.
That's why we keep him around.
And he's willing to tell them.
That's more to the point.
My life is an open book. That's right. All right. Janet, that's just a piece of what you'll find in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News. And
we have to say that as the publisher, you just did a superior job.
Great job.
This is why they pay the big bucks.
Well, yeah. It's always more interesting when the other people are here, too. So, you know. But luckily, the paper itself is really interesting. So everybody, go ahead and buy it.
All right, Janet, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
That is Janet Manco, the editor and of the Lakeville Journal. You'll find out more about the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com and on Facebook.